This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Mo Sislak, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Michael, Donnie, Peter, why don't you boys stop by the bar after the show for a couple of duffs and some flaming Moes? First round is on me, and by on me, I mean you're paying for it.
Sounds good, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's Thursday already, November 2nd, 2021. Hope you're all having a great day. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours, and the other 20, that's your responsibility. And I think you know what we start off with today. At 12:01 today, Major League Baseball officially locked out the players. It's kind of weird that people are referring to it as the first work stoppage in 26 years. To me, there's no work stoppage until you miss a game. I think that what this is negotiating, and they want to put some pressure on the players to, you know, change what they want. So now there are 300-plus players that don't have contracts for next year. Now, guys like Max Scherzer and Marcus Semien and Corey Seager and Marcus Stroman. By the way, Marcus Stroman got his bag, $25 million a year for 3 years with the Cubs. All those guys, they're set. They're set. Now, they're not going to get paid if it goes into the season, but they know where they're going to be. They know where they're going to be. They know what spring training on that they get. They know they have to get a place in whatever city with the team that they signed with. But all those other players are in total limbo. Total limbo. They have no idea where they're going. They have no idea what team they're joining. They have no idea what they're going to make. Nothing. And that's why the lockout was actually put into effect, just to draw some sort of a finish line. Now, there's no finish line, because I've talked to a couple of people today, guys, and the thought is that this is not going to end before February. Because then it really gets heavy, because the players might have pressure now, but when you start to lose spring training games and maybe lose regular season games, then you're going to see the resolve of the owners as well. Then it becomes a high-stakes game of chicken. And I'm going to tell you this. I'll be brutally frank right up top. We are not talking lockout every day for the next 4 months. We're not. It's boring. It's millionaires battling with billionaires to see how they split up their money. You can take sides, whichever side you want. That's more than fair. As a fan, you can do what you want. That's up to you. We'll report things as they become apparent, as negotiations are out there, and we know what chains has been made and what the players want or what the owners are requesting. Get all that. We'll do that. But to have this be a referendum every single day on the lockout, sorry, there's football, there's basketball, there's hockey. We're going to talk sports here. This is not a labor relations show. And I think a lockout is boring. And until you start losing games, it's not that big of a deal until you start losing games.
That's it. And we're not even close to that, because what we did, we got a free agent frenzy. And, yeah, there are some guys on the outside looking in, but for the most part, we got a lot of action within like a three-day period, which was really cool, and I thought was really relevant for the sport, something that baseball always has a slow burn, right, for free agency. They don't have that day like they do in the other sports when you get to like July 1st in the NBA and NHL, where like a lot of things happen in football with their free agent signing period. So you got that with baseball, and this is usually the time where around the holidays you kind of put baseball on the shelf. And you focus on other things until you start to get to February and you start counting down the days for pitchers and catchers. That's when it's going to become relevant. Right now, this is kind of a dormant time anyway. So we're still a good couple of months away from anybody being even remotely concerned about the 2022 season being in jeopardy.
Don, I'll tell you what, Peter was very upset. We were talking after midnight when the lockout happened. He doesn't feel good about it, but we'll get him through it.
I'm upset. I'm scared. Yep. I'm concerned.
I know you are. And we'll get you through every single one of those emotions. Now, let me tell you exactly the crib notes of what's going on. I think the owners would like to keep the system the way it is. The players want drastic changes. And the reason they want drastic changes, I'll sum it up for you quickly. the last two collective bargaining agreements that they signed, they got their backsides handed to them. They were total wins for the owners. Total wins. Now, what the players want, again, this is just a thumbnail sketch of what's going on. They want to take free agency from 6 years to five. They want to take arbitration from 3 years to two. That is pretty much, they're trying to recreate the bedrock that has been in place and set by Marvin Miller 50 years ago. It's always been 6 years free agency, 3 years arbitration, and super twos, where some players could get in after 2 years if they, you know, were brought up in the middle of a season or something like that. And again, I don't want to get too technical with it. So that's the main thing. And I think that's the thing where they're really going to clash. I don't think the owners are willing to change the 6 years free agency. I think they might bend a little bit on the arbitration and make more super twos available. But Rob Manfred spoke today and said, if we change arbitration and we change free agency the way the players want it, then the smaller market teams cannot function in the way they should. Now, one thing that the players, I believe, have a legitimate gripe, and I think there's some owners that feel the same way, but I've told you this before, baseball negotiations are always very difficult because it's not the players against the owners. It's the players against the owners and the owners against the other owners. Because smaller market owners want different things than John Henry in Boston and the Steinbrenner family with the Yankees. They want different things. There are different things that they need. So you've got different owners going up against other owners and then players going up against a whole lot of them. So the players don't like the fact that the revenue sharing that some small market teams get, they don't spend on players. The players want that money to be spent on players. Some of these small market teams take the $70, $80 million that they're getting from the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets and the other big market teams. You know what they're doing? They're pocketing it.
Holy crap.
And they're making profit. So the players say, no, that's not cool. That revenue sharing should go to us. So I think there's something there that could be worked out. Maybe they need me to mediate where if a small market team gets $70 or $80 million in revenue sharing, they've got to spend that on their major league roster. And if they don't, they have to give it back into a central fund. I think that could help change some things. And I think maybe if the owners get to increase the luxury tax to maybe, I don't know, a threshold to 225, 230, and then you get a floor of $90 million, and then if you don't reach that floor and you're one of the revenue-sharing teams, you give the money back, and you also lose draft position.
Right.
Those are things that could happen. But again, the thing I don't think either side is willing to budge on right now, the players want free agency dropped from 6 years to five and arbitration from 3 years to two. The owners seem like they are locked in on that. They're not changing. So the players made proposals, and they have not changed in the months since they made the proposal. And I don't think they're going to change until there's real, real pressure. Now, is the pressure going to come from the players that are unsigned? Are the owners going to capitulate because they're seeing season ticket sales might be down? And just think about it. We just had a free agent frenzy, Don and Peter. It's going to be nothing compared to what we have if this is settled in the middle of March or the middle of February. Because if this gets settled in the middle of February, everything has to be compressed if you want to start the season on time. You're going to have to give GMs at least 2 weeks to sign these players, make trades, things like that. It's going to be something like we've never seen before. Talk about March Madness. It's going to be February insanity. And that might be a good thing for the sport. But as of right now, all the people I speak to on both sides, they don't see this thing being settled until February. And then once it gets to February, then you could worry about losing games.
See, you made a great point about there being three sides to this. There's the players, there's the owners, and then the other owners. And the other owners are all looking at what's happening with baseball and the system not necessarily working for them if the players win. Like, the Yankees are always going to have money. Red Sox are always going to have money, right? Phillies, there's certain markets. And when you look at the free agent frenzy and you see where a lot of these players went, they went to teams with money in pretty big markets for the most part. And that's the way free agency has always been. And now you get a team like Kansas City, a team like Tampa, where they can't be as active in free agency because they don't have the television money, they don't have the market size. And so they really rely on homegrown, you know, growing their own players. And if you start having those players eligible for free agency earlier, for arbitration earlier, they're going to lose those players.
Yep.
So how are they going to get better? How are they going to be able to have forever guys? And because they don't want a salary cap, Michael, there's always going to be those teams who feel like they can't compete. And what you want is what you – everybody wants the NFL, where every team feels like they've got a chance to compete. And the reason for that is they've got outlandish money that comes from television. They get outlandish money when it comes to merchandising. And they've agreed to share it with themselves and the players equally, where everyone feels like they can thrive. If Jacksonville stinks, it's because they don't know what they're doing, not because they can't compete financially. Why can't baseball create a system like that? Because
I think the reason they can, Don, is that most, like 95% of the money in the NFL comes from their national TV contracts. That's not the case in baseball.
Right.
It's attendance, it's local TV. And, you know, the Mets might say, why do we have to share our money from SNY with the Pittsburgh Pirates? So this is a system that's been in place forever. Now, in order to have a real salary cap, you've got to pool all that money. And all of a sudden, the Kansas City Royals might be worth the same thing as the New York Mets, which is what happens in football. So that's why that's a tough one to pull off. And I don't think the players really trust the owners to give them a real accounting of what they make.
Because there's two ways of the salary cap working and the salary cap not working. It works in the NBA and the NFL, I think, very efficiently to where the big-time players get their money, right? The quarterbacks get their money, Michael. And in the NBA, the LeBron Jameses of the world, they get their money. They get a lot of money. And they're able to make it work. You know, in the NHL, it didn't work for the players. They got completely jobbed. I mean, it's ridiculous that the highest, you know, paid player, you know, is making a fraction of what the other sports are making. And I get it, the television revenue is not the same, but they don't have the ability to be able to pay their one big player a lot of money, even if he's in a small in a big market. But could you come up with a system where you have it in the NBA? LeBron James be able to make $38 million a year in a cap sport, right? You see Tom Brady's able to make his money. Aaron Rodgers is able to make his money in a cap sport. So the superstar players can sign their multi-million dollar contracts, Michael, but is there a way that you don't see the tanking, where you see a team with a $37 million payroll not being competitive? And how does that help the players to know that there's a bunch of teams out there not paying anybody?
Yeah, and
there's less jobs.
That's what I think this shouldn't be about, and I'm not taking sides on this, okay? I'm not going to be so stupid as to do that. But I believe that the players should go off the free agent number, try to get a little bit more on Super Twos with arbitration, but they should zero in on making sure that the Pirates and the Guardians, it's so weird saying that.
Right, and the Royals.
And the Royals don't have $40 million payrolls when the New York Mets have a $280 million payroll. There's got to be a floor. There's got to be, if you make the Guardians spend $90 to $100 million, that's $60 million more that they're going to spend that will go to players. That's something they should be concentrating on. And the players are dead right. The tanking is ridiculous. The Orioles losing 100 games 4 years in a row, taking out the COVID year, that's nonsense that should go on. Nonsense. It shouldn't go on. Shouldn't be allowed. There should be draft picks that are taken out of circulation. If you continue to lose at that rate, you should not be allowed to build a team that way. You just shouldn't. But these are things that they're going to have to solve.
If the Baltimore Orioles, and that's not a small market by any stretch, and it's a team that's been around forever with a ballpark that's older but still beautiful, to have a $37 million payroll, if they're forced to have a $90 million payroll, that benefits the players.
Right.
Because that's more money that's going into the hopper. Now, the rub, and this is where a lot of people lose it with the owners, all right, if it's so bad, let's see some of these teams fold. If it's so awful, the system is so bad, let's see the Marlins fold. Let's see the Rays fold. Let's see the Royals fold. That never happens. They're still able to make their money. You know, when the NHL had their situation, Michael, there was the legitimate threat that because of the way the system was constructed, there would be no Edmonton Oilers. There would be no Calgary Flames. They just couldn't exist.
But
and
I
they
know
were able to sell that. Is that close to happening in
no,
baseball?
No, but right. And the reason it's not is because these teams are taking revenue sharing money and pocketing it as profit. That's not what revenue sharing is supposed to be. Why should the Yankees have to prop up the Pittsburgh Pirates? Now, the Yankees and all the teams that commit to revenue sharing, if that money is spent on players, then they're cool with that. Mm. Now, those teams would tell you, well, we're not putting it in our pocket. We're building up our farm system and things like that. Stop. You've got to put it on the Major League payroll to some extent. But, and whatever you don't spend out of your revenue sharing money, you got to get back.
No, I agree with that. But I also think you got to get – these big market teams also have to get off of, hey, I'm not in the business of helping out the Kansas City Royals. But you kind of are, because you're
but not in the
business
of making them profitable, though. Not in the business of making the owners just put it in their pocket. If they're in the business of making everybody, a legitimate contender to make the playoffs, that's fine. Right. This actually was thought out so that they could give revenue sharing money so those teams could compete for their own players or bring in free agents. But that's not happening. They're using it for profit.
Right. No,
so the players have a legitimate beef.
Right, that is wrong, because the whole idea is you want to try to give every franchise the belief that they can be competitive. You don't want to have these black holes, and I'm sure post-COVID it's going to be interesting, Michael, because, you know, I don't know if the Yankees are going to have 50,000 fans every night. You know, so when the Kansas City Royals come to town and the team stinks and they're on their way to losing 100 games, you might get 25,000. That's not good for everybody. That's not good to have 162 games and half the schedule is games that nobody wants to see. You've already seen baseball. You know, there's the accusations that they were given like a dead ball to the bad games and then a juiced ball to the good games. You're going to have a lot more bad games than good games. You can't have the same 5-6 teams on national television all the time. You can't have just 5-6 teams with a chance to win. And the revenue sharing and the current system that existed, we've seen Kansas City go to back-to-back World Series. We've seen the Texas Rangers go to back-to-back World Series. We've seen the Tampa Bay Rays be a consistent playoff team. I mean, so if I'm looking at the current system, Michael, as far as competitive balance and health of every team, I think the system that they currently have right now is working, no?
Well, it's working. Well, here's the deal. It's working for the high-end players, obviously. Max Scherzer just got $43.3 million a year. It's not working for the middle-ground players. And for the players, they'll feel that those middle-ground players are not being pursued because teams of lower-revenue teams that can keep their payroll at $30 or $40 million, they're not investing in those players. They'll just have players that are replacement value players at a minimum wage. So it's the middle ground, those 300 players that aren't signed right now, that are going to get squeezed out and have been squeezed out. And also, it's hard to legislate against smart, because what's happened is that baseball GMs have gotten smarter. Why should I give a 31-year-old player who's an okay player? He's not Marcus Semien, but he's an okay player. Why should I give him $5, $6 million when I can have a player of equal value that's younger and pay him $900,000? Those guys are getting squeezed out. And that's why the players also say, you're also getting bargains on great players, young, because there's no avenue for them to make more money because they can't become free agents. So, again, those are the particulars of what's going on. If it comes down to they have to have 5 years and they have to, it's going to be a very, very, very long work stoppage, because I think the owners will not go from six, and they might move up a little bit on the arbitration. The bottom line is there are ways to solve the problems of baseball. I don't think that's going to be the thing that either side is going to move on, and one of them is going to have to. And I think that the underlying thing in this work stoppage is this. I will repeat. The last two basic agreements, the Players Association got their ass kicked. For some reason, they agreed on a luxury tax. They realize now that it is a drag on salaries. They're not going to get that back. You already gave that away. So just because you got your butt kicked the last two basic agreements, don't expect to come in here and solve every single problem that you caused yourself by signing off on things and hitting a grand slam in the first inning. No, you might have to do it over a number of CBAs, because it's not going to all come back in one CBA. That would be smart enough. Now, another thing that baseball fans noticed, which is really odd and really, really weird, at 12:01, if you were looking at MLB.com, every single player's image was scrubbed from the site. Every player that is listed as a roster, and I used to always have the picture of the player next to it, they're all silhouettes. They are all silhouettes now. If you're watching the MLB Network, You can say the name of the player. You cannot show the likeness of the player. You cannot show any highlights of any active player on the 40-man roster because in the basic agreement, there are rules for NIL, names, image, and likeness. Now, they are using names on the MLB Network. They are. They're not using image. They're not using likeness. They're not using highlights. And what's going to happen, too, is every single team-owned network, you're not going to see anything on any of the players on the 40-man roster. If you see any player highlights, it's going to be about guys in the minor leagues that are not yet part of the union because they're not part of the 40-man roster. So teams that own their network, you're not going to see that. So it's like they've erased their product. And as Rob Manfred said today, we felt this lockout was needed in order to come to a resolution, but it's not good for the game. Imagine if you owned a company that made widgets and all of a sudden you couldn't even show people the widgets. I mean, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they have a big promotion later on this next season, the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. Mm. They've taken his name off of it. And I think they're calling it Great Far East Player Bobblehead. No. It's laughable. It's absolutely laughable, but they can't legally show the players. And now the players are getting a little snarky, too. So a lot of them that are on Twitter are actually taking their picture that they have as their icon, and they're all going to Silhouettes. So that's what we're at right now. Silly little children's games where they're throwing poop at each other. But, again, I'm sure the lawyers have looked through this. Without a basic agreement, you cannot benefit by showing somebody's image, and you can't show somebody's highlight. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, well, and it's going to be weird for a while.
Well, I'm kind of curious about, Michael, is, all right, we know what the players want. The owners want to keep it status quo.
Right.
The players want significant change. What are the players willing to give back to get that change?
Don't know. I mean, maybe they'll bend on rules.
See, that's what I think is interesting, is because if there is going to be a work stoppage, I hope some good can come out of it, where the players can start agreeing to some things to make the game more interesting, some rule changes, some ways to kind of make the game better. I mean, that if we're going to have any kind of work stoppage, and this was the positive of the NHL work stoppage 15 years ago, the game was better when we came out the other end. Is there a way that the game can be better, where the players might be more willing to, you know, be wired during games, or some of the things that they seem to not want to be a part of to better the game, now they'll be more willing to do?
We'll have to see. It's going to shake out over the next 4 months. I would be absolutely shocked if this thing is resolved quickly. I think it's going to go on for a while. It scares me if it goes on to, cancel games. I mean, imagine this. You're 1 year removed from a 60-game season, and now you're staring at a lockout, which does not promote the sport. The sport needs to be promoted. But both sides know it, but both sides also know you need an economic resolution. So I'm not going to bash either side. It's important to do business. It's important to get what you want. You have to get work rules in place. And now the basic agreement is over, and it ended at 12:01 or 11:59, and MajorLeagueBaseball.com was scrubbed of any player images. Weird. MLB Network scrubbed of any player images. Also odd. But that's the rules of engagement right now. Imagine this. You're going to try to promote a 2022 season, and you can't even mention or show highlights of a player that's on your team. You can't. Now, what's going to be interesting is this, Don and Peter. What happens on SNY, which used to be a team-owned network? It's not now. The Wilpons own it. But the Wilpons own 5% of the Mets. Steve Cohen owns 95% of the Mets. So will SNY fall under the same heading of like ESPN and Fox Sports Net, where, okay, they're in business with baseball, but they're not owned by baseball? Will that 5% that the Wilpons own of the Mets, will that prohibit SNY from showing highlights of the Mets? But networks that are owned totally by their team, or the majority of the network is owned by their team, you're not going to see highlights of players. You're just not. It's a brave, strange, new world.
And Buster only brought up something earlier today on Twitter. This is the first major lockout or work stoppage in North American sports during the advent of social media to this level.
Yep.
So, and who's on social media? Not the owners, the players.
Right.
So the players are going to hear right from the fans whether they're on the player's side or against the players, and will the players be able to keep quiet? Will some of them, like a Stroman, maybe tweet something they're not supposed to, give information they're not supposed to? Will they go in full lockdown? This will add an element that we've never seen before.
All right, so you mentioned Buster. We're going to have him on in just a moment, so stay tuned for that. He's going to have the latest information. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Basketball Hall of Fame Invitational returns to Barclays Center on December 12th, featuring Purdue, NC State, Maryland, Florida, Miami, Fordham, Iona, and Yale. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score a pair of tickets, brought to you by Barclays Center. Get your tickets today at SeatGeek.com. So, Peter, this is unusual. Don and I have worked together for 20 years.
Yeah, since 1947.
Right. And, you know, we do a little FaceTime meeting before the show for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And Don, out of the blue, said something he'd never said to me before, Peter. He said to me, "You look really good today." I don't know where it came from. I don't know why he said it. I don't know how I look different today than I did yesterday. But that's what Don said out of the blue.
Yeah. Just the way the framing of the video on our FaceTime call. Mm-hmm. The way the hair came across through the light, and the sweater's gorgeous too, by the way, fantastic sweater. You just and you had the glasses on, you just really look terrific. And I had to say something about it.
I was taken aback. I really was.
It's certainly better, Don, than some of the ways he looked in yesterday's FaceTime meeting.
Something happened in the FaceTime meeting that. Yeah, I don't know if we should bring up because it's damning.
Yeah, and damaging to all of us. And Michael told me that my eye looks. I FaceTimed him during the commercial, had to tell him something very important, and he said that my eye is swollen.
The top lid on your bloodshot eye. Get those sunglasses on again. Let's make it work. I think it looked great.
I just want this to go away already.
Well,
I've been trying.
I want to find out what's going on.
Well, that's why I'm worried. I'm like, do I need to go to a doctor? But I've been around. Other people have seen me, and no one said anything this morning.
Because nobody cares about you like I do.
Is it the right eye?
It's my left eye.
Look, it's a little more swollen. His lid is a little. His eye looks smaller.
Because the bloodshotness is almost gone.
Don,
it's fine, right?
Yeah. No,
I don't see anything. I think maybe I'm a little tired. I need the weekend. That's for sure. But I think I'm good.
All right. Cool.
But I sincerely appreciate what you're saying, and I hope that you're wrong.
All right, so do I. Let's go to Edgar in the Bronx to start off. Edgar!
How you doing, Michael? How are you doing, fellas? I'm in agreement with Buster after hearing what he said, that there's not going to be any type of labor peace maybe until June. And the one sport that's going to definitely benefit is soccer, because if come February, March, there's no baseball, you still have the Men's World Cup qualifying wrapping up, and then the Women's World Cup qualifying is on the way. You still have the European leagues, including Champions and Europa Cup. You also don't have the MLS on the way and the NWSL. So there's going to be options for baseball fans to do something when the baseball is not happening. And then if it's going to keep going until June, then the WNBA league is going to be benefiting as well, because if the baseball parks are closed, just go to a WNBA game. And even the auto sports are going to even benefit, because if I know NASCAR is in town and there's no baseball, let's head out to the racetrack.
Wait a second. Right. And there's going to be tiddlywinks thing at the new USB Arena. I mean, come on. So there's going to be time for people to go to other things. Great. So does that mean they're going to leave baseball forever? One thing I will not do is sit here and sound the death knell. Even if they locked out the entire season, which I don't think is going to happen, but let's say worst case scenario. Did it kill hockey? It's not going to kill anything.
Also,
if people that are baseball fans will come back. They'll also get ticked off. I mean, I remember in 90 and 94, I'm never coming back again. Baseball's making more money now than it ever made before. That's after I'm never coming back again after they canceled the World Series.
Also,
I'm not diminishing your anger, but really, that's ridiculous.
Also, I'm not what you would call a hardcore baseball fan, as we know. And I go to baseball games every year, okay? Nothing could happen to baseball that's going to lead to me going to a NASCAR game, a NASCAR race. Calm down.
Also, he painstakingly ignored the fact that through June, we've got the NBA playoffs and finals. We've got the hockey playoffs and finals.
Always.
You know, again, nothing against soccer, but soccer is always there. Soccer is something that people care about. But, you know, I think we're good through June.
And by the way, he said World Cup qualifying. Remember, World Cup's in the winter next year. It's not even in the summer.
We also got from him, they're going to go to NASCAR races. They're going to go to Women's Soccer League. They're going to go to the W. I mean, come on. Those are all viable sports. You think they're going to replace baseball?
No, but he was trying to say that, you know, that there'll be other things to do. Yeah,
other things to do.
But. And listen, it could be damaging. I mean, maybe this might be, if they end up canceling an entire season, and I don't think they'll do that, but even if they do dip into the season, Michael, from a PR standpoint, this could be what knocks it down to third in this country. But you said it perfectly. The NHL canceled an entire season. I think they came out better for it. And then the fans aren't going to stop being fans of that sport. It's never good. It's not a good optic. It's not a good look. But baseball, it's too ingrained in the psyche of this country to just go away. And as far as something to do, I think we're covered through June with the NBA and the NHL playoffs. And then before you know it, you get into August and the training camps for football open. So I don't think we're going to be hurting for anything to watch if baseball decides to take a knee on the summer.
And really, also in March, the next season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is coming out. So, I mean, there's stuff to tide us over. All right, a lot of people want to talk. We'll get to you. We're also going to examine the man and the myth. We'll hear from the man and the myth as well, and a big loss in the entertainment industry. We'll tell you about that when we get back, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Buster only, most of the people I speak to, looking at February before anything even gets close to being solved. Would you agree with that?
No, I think it's longer than that. In fact, I got a text from an experienced agent, and he said that he sent a note to his client. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day, Happy Easter, and I'll talk to you again around Flag Day, which is June 14th.
Oh, my goodness.
In this moment, it absolutely feels like we got a scorched earth situation going on where the two sides, they're going to war. And if that's the case, before we dive into each side, I'd say from 30,000 feet, I can't imagine the sport being in a more fragile position.
The Michael K. Show.
Thursday already, November 2nd.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I didn't notice that.
Did I say that wrong?
It's December 2nd.
Oh, wow, you're right. Thank you, Anthony. It is March 8th. No, it's not. It's May 8th. Yeah.
Thank the listeners. I missed it too, but Twitter.
Anthony missed it. Twitter.
You can always count on Twitter, can't you?
Yeah. You see who passed away today, Don? This is going to affect you. It won't affect Peter at all.
I know who you're talking about.
Eddie Mecca, the big ragu on Laverne and Shirley. Just 69 years old.
Yeah, I didn't see what he passed from. But
They didn't say.
You're sure this is accurate, right? We have a bad history.
This is not
on the
Sidney
show.
Poitier. No. Okay. This is real.
We don't have a bad history. I have a bad history.
Right. Sure.
I did it off the air, too, last weekend.
What'd you do?
An alert came over my computer about Stephanie Powers, who was in Heart to Heart.
Oh, yeah, with Robert Wagner.
And I just looked at it quick. It's Stephanie Powers, blah, 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 at 79.
So I and you told Nancy.
Oh. I said, Nancy, Stephanie Powers died. Really? Oh, that's a shame. How old are they? 79. So like 3 hours go by. I've already committed this to being done. And then she looks at this. She gets the same alert. She's like, there's an article about how Stephanie Powers looks at 79 years old. She goes, isn't that strange they'd send that on the day that she died?
Dear God.
I'm like, and then I look back at the alert. Like, no, she didn't die. I got the same alert. I just misread it.
Peter, you know what? You know what we're seeing here, and it's problematic. There is a subsection of people, right, that can't wait to tell you bad news. That can't wait to tell you that somebody passed away. And Don is one of those people.
It's
so if he even gets a sniff of something, he's going to go with it before investigating, before the body is cold, and that's wrong.
No,
you are that guy.
That's not
Peter.
I'm not that guy. I am
I
know people
Sidney
that
Poitier,
are that.
Do you want to go back to Stephanie Powers?
Do you want to go back to Sidney Poitier? Because this is a tough moment.
No, but you're misunderstanding.
You've done it too often.
But it's not because I'm quick to do it. It's just that I'm too lazy to read things to completion.
Yeah, I know that. But then you blurt it out because you want to be the first one to tell Nancy that Stephanie Powers has left this mortal coil.
Nancy,
that's what you want.
Nancy was always a fan of Heart to Heart, so I figured she'd want to know. You're the one that brought up the big ragu. I didn't bring it up. If I was so quick to do it, then where was the text message from
me? Well, first of all, I found out about the big ragu at 2:20. I did some investigation. I called people. He's really dead. That's why I said it.
But
you just give out bad information on the air.
But I saw it earlier today, and I never text. I didn't bring it up during our meeting.
Because I think that in your mind, you don't think that's a big enough name.
No, it's Stephanie Powers is?
Heart.
Hey,
Stephanie Powers is a huge
name. I'm just telling you. We're just disagreeing on the different moronic thing I am. All right,
right.
I'm just defending the fact that moron A, I'm not. I'm not the one that's quick to let everybody know that somebody died. What I'm moron B, that I see a name and an age, and instead of reading it and finding out what it's about, I just assume the person's dead.
Whether you're moron A or moron B,
dear God.
You are definitely the guy who just you take a lot of pleasure in telling people bad news.
But if
you can't wait to get it out there. You're the town crier.
But if I was that way, then why didn't I mention his passing? I found out about it earlier today.
Because,
never texted anyone.
It's not a big enough loss for you. Sidney Poitier, you couldn't wait to tell people. Stephanie Powers, because it's somebody that matters it matters to Nancy. You turned around and killed the woman. Not Nancy.
The big ragu is a big deal. Laverne and Shirley, that was a part of a massive Tuesday lineup on ABC with Happy Days and Three's Company. And his cameo in League of Their Own. Tremendous dancer. No, very significant to my life. I'm just proving you wrong that I don't have to be the town crier. I'm just a moron that does not finish reading things.
Don's definitely the guy, Peter, would be screaming the British are coming. He is the guy. He wants everybody to know the stuff he knows.
Well, you just gave an example on how that could work to everybody's benefit.
How so?
Saying the British are coming was a good thing for the community.
Right. He was helping.
Ian Rappaport reporting, Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards have each been suspended without pay for the next three games for misrepresenting their vaccination status.
My God.
They have accepted the discipline and waived their right of appeal. So, I mean, Bruce Arians, I know you guys love him, looks like a complete foof. He said, well, that's untrue when they said that Antonio Brown had a fake vaccination card. That's not true. We've checked it. Well, I guess it is true, isn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, they checked it. They checked with him. That was their investigation. Hey, I like Bruce. He came into the studio. That leaves an impression on Peter and I. When you show up
that's
to the studio.
That's all we need. That's right.
That's a big deal. But no, it's a bad
job. I don't
want to
name
names.
He's defending his player. There are people that come into the studio that you talk very badly about the second they're out.
I need an example. Go ahead.
No,
expose me.
I will not.
Because
he doesn't mind.
It's never happened. I'm giving you permission to out me right now.
You didn't like when Bill Burr didn't want to sign your kids' books because you had that filthy, disgusting eye.
Well,
that was tough.
It was called pink eye. I wasn't a fan of that moment, but I get it. And he was nice to me otherwise. That's not a good enough example. I didn't badmouth him after he left. So I'll give an example. I'm letting you. If it's happened,
I don't want
go right. You can't do it because it doesn't exist.
It does exist. But, I mean, do you think three games is enough for these guys for lying?
Well, Evander Kane
how come Mr. Rogers didn't get in the neighborhood of three games? He misrepresented, to the media.
He misrepresented the media, but media is garbage and nobody cares about us. And he didn't. This is like almost like it's a crime.
That's the part I'm confused about. I don't know what and now we need the full story. What actually happened?
Well, Evander Kane got, what was it, Anthony, like, was it 25 games?
20 games, right?
20, it was in the 20s, maybe 20 games or whatever. There's probably some CBA maximum or whatever. So that's probably the equivalent of three NFL games, right? Yeah, it's exactly
21.
All right, so 21. 21 out of an 82-game season is the same as, I guess, 3 out of 17. So I guess that's fair. But, you know, what Aaron Rodgers did was, I think, wrong. But I'm not sure that it's anywhere near the level of forging a vaccination card. If you do that in real life, I believe it's a crime.
I'll tell you this. The guy who should be red hot is Tom Brady. Tom Brady went out on a limb to get this guy out of purgatory and to Tampa Bay, and now this guy pulls a stunt like this?
I don't feel bad for Tom. Tom knew what he was getting into.
But the bottom line with Antonio Brown, you don't have to get vaccinated, bud. You can play. You don't have to be vaccinated. What, you didn't want to wear a mask, so you decided to fake a card?
Yeah, he just doesn't get it. But
and that is a federal—it's a federal crime now, Don. People can go to jail for it.
Well, I knew it was a crime. I didn't know if it was a federal crime, and it should be. I mean, it's not something you should be allowed to do for sure. So, yeah, he gets three games, and I think he got off light. But anybody that decides to climb into bed with Antonio Brown, you know what you're in for. I mean, that's what it is. He's probably going to do something that's going to prohibit him from playing or working to his optimum. So I'm sure Tom knew that. And
I don't think anybody's surprised that it ended poorly.
And they'll welcome him back after the three games.
You're right. You're right. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Christian in White Plains. Christian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just going back to the lockdown so I just think this is the absolute worst time for the lockdown, just because the young fans, the younger generation that the league's trying to tailor to, they're the ones that are going to suffer, because during this time period, you know, they might get some baseball memorabilia for the holidays, and they want to, you know, dive in on their iPad to check out the game. And right now, there's no product there for them to see players, faces, videos, et cetera. And on top of it all, you know, the fans like us who believe this last season went by so fast.
Right.
You know, who knows when this is going to go to now? I just want your take on this.
Christian, I'll tell you this. It doesn't help. There's no way you could paint it as a positive. I'm just saying it's not the death knell of baseball, but it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. You can't promote your sport. You can't promote your stars. How are you selling season tickets? There are teams that are unfinished. The Yankees are unfinished. There's no way the Yankees are going into the season with this team. So what are you promoting?
Here's the thing that baseball's got going for it, Michael. The overall product suffers because baseball is trying to be national. They're trying to get people into games that do not involve your market team. So overall, it's bad for baseball. But really what it comes down to is this. Is anybody going to walk away from the Yankees? They'll miss the Yankees. And when the Yankees come back and play, you're going to be thrilled because you love the Yankees. They're too much a part of your life to give up on it. So you'll be down on baseball. And I'm sure the national television ratings will suffer. They've been suffering anyway. But do you think a Met fan's going to give up on the Mets? You think a Yankee fan's going to give up on the Yankees? They'll be ticked off. They'll be upset. They might even side, you know, against the players in this whole thing. But when they come back and that team's got a chance to win a championship, Michael, are they going to cut off their nose to spite their face? No. They'll be there, excited to see their favorite team.
No, I agree with you, but this does not help a sport.
No, it hurts it because baseball is trying to get out of that. Like, baseball's a regional sport almost to its detriment. They're trying to get people excited about their sport, not just excited about their team. So that kills that concept. It still keeps it localized. Remember, there are a lot of baseball fans, Michael, in New York, but they're Yankee fans. They're Met fans. But do they talk about baseball the way we talk about the NBA, the way we talk about the NFL? Baseball wants to get to a level where it could be competitive with the NBA and the NFL, where their Sunday night game is getting monster ratings, when the World Series is getting monster ratings. So there it hurts. But as far as somebody stop being a baseball fan, not going to Met and Yankee games, that's not going to happen. Especially, you think any Met fan's going to give up now with all the money they just spent?
No, absolutely not. Let's go to Abe in New Jersey. Abe.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
Great. You?
Good, good.
I am doing good. First of all, Peter, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you as well.
I appreciate that. Listen, I'm not here to talk any sports tonight. I'm here to just say I'm one of those that listen on Spotify every single night. I rely on the podcast, and I just want to say you guys are doing an amazing job, and I really, really, really appreciate it and love all three of you.
I got to ask you a question.
Go for it.
Do you like when ENN continues into a second segment, or do you prefer when it just ends?
Honestly, I prefer it separate.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Abe, you're a good man.
I don't know if you what do you mean separate?
Wants it to end it at 6:22, like God intended it.
I don't think that's what – is that what he meant?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what he meant.
So you like – so let me get this straight. You like ENN, but you want it to end.
100%. No, I love ENN. It's my highlight of my night.
But you want it to be shorter. The thing that you love, you want it shorter.
Well, but wait a second, Peter. You're putting Abe on the spot here. So
I just don't think you understood the question.
I mean, people seem like they enjoy you know, a little nookie, but not everybody is Sting that wants it to go on for 9 hours.
Oh, I wish I had that problem.
We don't want tantric ENN is what we're saying.
Well, I don't think he understood.
That's a bad example. Everybody wants tantric ENN.
Nobody wants 9 hours. No, I'm sorry.
I think he was referring to the fact that the podcast is separate. I don't think he understood the question.
He understood perfectly.
Well, then why did he answer with a word that wasn't the right word? Separate wasn't.
I can't speak for him.
It didn't make sense as an answer.
There's a little hijacking of the show when you just decide to go into a second segment. That's
for no good reason.
That's Don just getting mad that I'm like overstepping. That's not about good content. That's Don wanting the. He wants me to send him an email and formally ask him. But that's not about the content being good or bad.
Well, there's some. We were just talking about like the great Laverne and Shirley's, but it wasn't like Three's Company had to get delayed because there was a great episode of Laverne and Shirley.
Oh,
it was 30
what
minutes.
A great point. Yeah.
This is what ENN is. And then you ask, but it's not like something that you text during it or whatever. Should we take it to the second segment? You ask, so we awkwardly have to say yes. And you end up hijacking 40 minutes of the show.
So this, Rook, just to cover up here again. So ENN's considered me hijacking the show as if I do a 40-minute monologue.
Fix that!
You guys still talk more doing it during ENN than I do. So hijack.
But that's part. Well, that's what ENN is. All of us
I know.
Talking about subjects that you bring up.
I so know. That's why.
Would you
that's
rather
why the word hijack seems so false. It's just allowing us to get to more topics.
Here's what you are.
Tell us
you're
what
you're George Harrison, right? And you get your few songs, and they're very good. But Michael and I are John and Paul, all right? So we're going to get ours. So you can play something.
But you guys don't play the hits after 6:30.
But you don't go in.
After 6:30 is when you guys start playing.
And George doesn't go, listen, I'm really enjoying playing something. Can I play it for another 15 minutes? What do you think Paul and John are going to say? No, we're moving on.
I think Yoko would step in too. I think Yoko would step in.
Yeah, but you guys don't play Hey Jude at 6:30. You start
sometimes
playing.
No,
you start playing I Am the Walrus.
Do not diminish our 6:30 segments. They're great. Especially when we have Carlin at 6:45.
See, now the fangs come out. Now it's because he's saying that he thinks it's a male.
Anything he does is better than what we would all do.
Right.
And by the way, I'd like to send out congratulations to Chris Carlin. Did you see this?
No.
Did you see it? He's calling the play-by-play of Jets Eagles for ESPN National Radio. How about my guy, huh?
That's cute. Awesome.
He really is. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
I can actually listen to him.
It's not in New York, though. You'd have to listen to it on satellite, I guess.
No, I'd be able to find it because I go out of my way to listen to putrid Rutgers football where they're getting destroyed, getting shut out by Penn State, getting humiliated by Maryland, and I stick with it because it's my guy. Now I get NFL level.
That's right. Let's go to Gary in Morristown. Gary?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good. I got a couple things before I ask Donnie about the Devils. First of all, Donnie stole my thunder. Michael, that shirt is absolutely sensational. You always get ripped on for wearing stuff. It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
The bar that has been set for Michael is so unbelievable.
So you don't like the sweater, do you, Peter? You don't like it?
It's a great-looking, simple Lacoste sweater, but they treat you like someone. What they're really saying is, when Don and the caller said that, we think you dress like garbage. Thank you for putting on a basic white sweater. That's what they're saying to you, Michael.
No, I don't put words in my mouth.
Because
when I complimented him on and off the air, I was complimenting him unbiasedly, saying, I think that sweater is gorgeous.
Gary, because you sound like a nice guy, I'm going to tell you a story about the sweater. You ready? And then I'll let you make your other point. We're done. You ready? I think Don and Peter will enjoy this, too. You see this sweater I'm wearing?
Mm.
This is the first time I've ever worn it. It's brand new. But I've owned it for 25 years.
No.
Yep.
Really?
When the Yankees used to, when like 25 years ago, the Yankees would go to Toronto, obviously three times a year, and there was a Lacoste warehouse that only people with the team could get in. And people just buy things in bulk. It was just amazing. You get like a beautiful polo shirt, a Lacoste polo shirt, for like $10. When in the store, it would be 90. And I remember buying this sweater, and I just put it away. I never wore it, and I found it the other day. I said, you know what? I should put this on. It's a 25-year-old brand-new shirt. How about that?
Honestly?
That's phenomenal.
I'll let the caller get his question in. But Don, I've never needed less proof now that Michael is an utter psychopath. How does a random sweater make the cut for 25 years? How?
It just did. Go ahead, Gary. What's your question to Don? I'm sorry that
No. I still think it's phenomenal. But the other thing I wanted to say before I talked to Don and got hockey is that you guys a couple weeks ago were talking about the lead-in song. And I got to tell you, my youngest daughter, the best part of my day is when I pick her up at school. We get in the car, and she belts it out. And it's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. See, they don't understand.
And,
Gary,
stories
people don't
like
understand.
That's why it's
no,
nice.
I know. Donnie, we haven't had a lot to root for lately with the Devils, and I've been actually really excited about what's been going on. I think it's huge that they locked up Keys, but I just wanted to hear your overall take on what you think about, you know, how they've looked so far. They seem a lot faster. You know, they're obviously either the youngest or the second youngest team in the NHL right now, and I've just been really – I know the Rangers dominate the headlines and they're doing really well, but I really think the Devils have a lot to be excited for going into the future. And
it's been a long time. You've got two first overall picks on the roster, so Fitzgerald has done a terrific job putting the team together. It's not going to happen this year. The division is just too good.
I still haven't got my jersey.
But you're still seeing signs. And, Michael, they're able to do something in New Jersey that can't happen in New York, and that's take however long it takes for you to get it right.
Yep.
And because they don't have the pressure, they've got their fan base and their fans come and they're excited, but they don't feel the pressure that, you know, the other teams in New York do sometimes of, well, all right, we got to do something. So we got to fire everybody. We got to blow it up. We got to start over. And they looks like we're finally starting to see it come together, but I still think you're another year away.
Peter, a lot of support for you on the social media site named after birds. Danny Sarubbo said, if I had my way, ENN would be from 3 to 7. Don and Michael chime in periodically. Anthony Perry goes, Peter just wants the fans to sniff ENN dead. Too much of a good thing, man. TP really gets a good take on this. He said, first of all, don't act like the 630 spot isn't reserved for weird book interviews or coaches no one cares about. Second, ENN is awesome. And
so thank you. Our audience
Kay and
knows
Don
the show.
Kick rocks.
Here's one.
You can sniff my socks.
6:30 to 7 is a waste of time. I turn off the show after ENN. I haven't watched the last half hour of the show in ages. Extending ENN would keep me, parentheses, 36 years old, prime audience age, watching till 7. Lift it up and show it to me.
Don Cheapy goes, Andrew should just do ENN since he knows how to stay on time and does it 10 times better. Peter drags it out and kills the 6 o'clock hour.
Bing bong!
There is a little... I am going to do something better that you could even dream of doing in the last half hour. A little bit of a tone there when you say that.
Yeah, tone deaf.
Okay. Let me. That's not what I'm saying. If you guys wanted to make, if we, not just you guys, I do the same thing. I'm included in this. We could make 6:30 if we wanted to. We could try really hard to make it feel like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. But the fact of the matter is, it's the way end of the show. You have less audience when you look at the numbers at 6:30 than you do at any other portion of the show. So there's a certain bit of coming down when ENN ends. I think by extending ENN, you're keeping the up of the show all the way until 45. So if listen, if you don't want to, I'll go scratch. I can do it on IG Live or say it's a bear and Rocky. I'm fine. I just think it's good content for the people, and I think the people agree.
All right, so let me make a unilateral decision here. I think that moving forward after 6:22, do it for Bear and Rocky. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Phenomenal.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, Jet fan. Get your tickets to see the Jets host the Eagles at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, December 5th at 1 p.m., presented by SAP. Lock in your seats at nyjets.com/tickets and be listening today in the 5 p.m. hour when we give you the chance to win a pair of tickets. All brought to you by the New York Jets and your home for Jets football, 98.7 ESPN. I have a very serious hockey question to ask Don, but I want to read a tweet from a listener. Some of the listeners could actually, I mean, legitimately be programmers. So this is from Richard Chichesny. I hope I pronounced his name right. He said, I often turn the radio off and turn back in at 6:30. So disappointed when ENN continues and is extended. 6:30 to 7 should just be Don reading a list of people who have died on that day throughout history.
So which part of that was serious? Was any of it serious?
He's just a big fan of me.
He's just a big fan.
Listen, if you want to have a meeting where we should extend ENN,
see, that's
then
it.
We have the meeting.
That's it. I said this to Andrew during the break. Michael, this Don loves ENN. He loves it.
I love it too.
He loves nothing more than just getting to have the opportunity to speak on random things and we have fun. He doesn't like that I go rogue. That's it. This is a power play for Don. He doesn't want me making rogue decisions, and that's it. I truly believe if I were to have the meeting and propose this, he would vote, let's go to 6:45 every day. That's what I believe.
There's never been a moment in our relationship, Peter, than you ever crystallize something more than 100% the way that you just did right now. Like every word that you
Thank
said,
you.
Strategically placed perfectly
Thank you.
Into completely understanding how I feel about the situation.
I know my guy. I know my guy.
And
I'm gonna
further amplify that in a second before I tell you the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don would love to have, you know, a day off whenever he wants. Peter takes off when he wants. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to Dubai this weekend. And Don hates that you swing it around. He appreciates the fact that you get what you want, but hates that you go rogue.
But yeah,
so you've nailed them perfectly.
First of all,
they call me, you know, the big rules guy. He's a rules guy in his own way, too.
Sorry, by the way, first of all, we have an audience. They listen to us every day. They
lift
know
it up and show it to me.
They know how exaggerated this claim is about how often I miss the show for arbitrary days. I miss a Yom Kippur day every fall that you complain about. And then I'll miss, like I did, I took a couple days to go to Mexico for a friend's wedding. That's it. I will be doing the show with you every, and you of all people, Don, him of all people, come on.
You want to hear the statement from Antonio Brown's lawyer?
Please.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's a beauty. You ready? Mr. Brown is vaccinated and continues to support the vaccine for any person for whom it is appropriate. The NFL made its determination, and instead of going through the drawn-out and distracting process of challenging the outcome, Mr. Brown wrapped this up promptly, and he will make the most of this time by treating his ankle injury. Mr. Brown will be motivated, well-rested, and in the best shape of his life when he returns in Week 16. I'm calling fraud. You're going to take a punt? I'll go to jail for 10 years rather than battle it. I mean, really?
Yeah.
If you're vaccinated and the card is legit, then what do they have you on? How dare you accept something like that? Going to lose about $183,000, too.
Let me tell you something about Antonio Brown.
Tell me.
And maybe Peter will agree with this. He's kind of out there as far as how he does things, but he's also very understanding about wanting to kind of stay and keep his foot in things. So that's why that statement is what it is. I think he's probably completely anti-vax, not vaccinated, but he doesn't want the stigma of that because he still wants to end up on Match Game. He still wants to do his commercials. So I think he's trying to kind of straddle the line of being that guy, but also keeping himself in the mainstream. So otherwise, he would be fighting the suspension. If he was vaccinated and that card was legit, why would he accept the 3-game suspension?
He'd be an idiot.
The NFLPA, he would be ripping into them. He'd be trying to fight the play.
I've got to tell you another thing, Don, and I think you know exactly where I'm coming from here. There's very little I wouldn't do to get on the panel on Match Game. Be one of the 6 people. I just don't think I have enough fame to get there, but goodness, that's something I've always dreamed of.
I would love...
I don't want to be the guy who slides out and goes, oh, blank this. I want to give the answers like Charles Nelson Reilly or Richard Dawson.
And I don't know, with everything that Alec Baldwin's been in or been through in the last month or so, does that mean that – is this over? Is that show over now?
Well, I don't think so.
I would – there's a chance he'd be on hiatus, I'm sure.
Well, I want to be on that show.
Give him a call. See if he can get in there.
That's on tonight, right?
I don't know.
I don't even know how Match Game is played.
See, that's all just right, ignorant on your Mary, part. No, that's as bad as Michael not trying things.
This is the big money at the end. So you play along with me, Peter. I'll be Alec Baldwin.
Go ahead.
All right, so it's like I'm holding one of those long microphones. The question is, Mary Blank. Give us the top 3 answers. 100 people were surveyed.
No,
Mary
this is Family
Blank.
Feud. This is Family Feud.
No, it's not Family Feud because... To get to this point, they'll give you they'll give you a story where you have to fill in a blank.
Okay.
So Mary Blank, what would you go with?
I'd go Merry Christmas.
You would probably get the number one answer and then get to play for $20,000.
Yeah. Okay, and then what?
Then you play
that's
for
the end. He's talking about the end. You got to get to where you get to that, and then that's the second stage, and then the third stage would be like. What he just said, but it would just be a one-on-one instead of having the 3
right,
popular
you pick
answers.
You pick one of the 3 people, of the 6 people, and you have to match that person.
It's very good. It's funny.
I'm not against it. It's not from my youth. I don't have any connection to it.
Gene Rayburn, you missed
yeah,
a great
it's
one.
It's really.
All right, so Don, here's the hockey question.
Yes, dear.
So Jack Hughes of the Devils signed an 8-year, $64 million contract. We all know from, fourth grade division, that's $8 million a year.
That's right.
So he's from the same draft class as Kaapo Kakko. Hmm. Do the Rangers have to give him the same deal? Because Larry Brooks broke it down in the post today. They both have remarkably similar statistics. Although the Devils are – the whole marketing campaign is around Jack Hughes, but the Rangers have other stars. So what do the Rangers do?
Yeah, their numbers are similar, and Hughes just came off an injury. He's back, but he was having a great season before he missed 17 games. The problem is, then a year later, what are you giving Alexei Lafreniere, who was the first overall pick? That's one of the reasons why they traded Pavel Buchnevich away, because they knew that they were going to get Fox his contract. They just gave Zibanejad a contract, Kreider a contract. So in a cap world, Michael, it can't be that way. So even if he's deserving of the same money as Hughes, can they fit it under their cap? Can they make it work for them when, all right, you'll pay him, then what are you going to give Alexei the next year?
Well, I mean, but the thing that Larry brought up is, what are you going to give Strome?
That's another one. You can't afford to lose him either.
Right.
So they're having a lot of guys come together. That's why, you know, Ranger fans freaked out. You traded Pavel Buchnevich for basically nothing, and you did because he was going to be a guy that was deserving of money, and there just wasn't any money to give him. There was at the time, but you have to think of the future. And, yeah, they could have fitted him in the cap now, but they know all the money they're going to have to pay out to Strom, to Kako, to Lafreniere. And so they've got to make sure you've got that kind of money around in the cap sport. And I don't know what's going to happen with the cap moving forward, you know, during the pandemic and all that. So it might come at the expense of him not being able to get that deal or maybe having to hit restricted free agency and having to wait a little while longer.
Yeah, but if he hits restricted free agency and somebody gives him an offer of that ilk, then the Rangers can't match. Right?
Well, they'll at least get compensated by losing a restricted free agent.
But that's the second pick in the draft.
No, it's not worth it. So they've got to figure this out. Like everybody wanted him to trade for Jack Eichel. All right, trade for Jack Eichel. He's a phenomenal player, but he also makes a ton of money. How are you going to fit that? Vegas made that deal. They're in cap hell right now. They're going to have to almost release players next year. So you got to be careful with that. So it's great to have all these young players. The Yankees were going through it as well. Is what the Yankees' issue was, where do we play all these young players? In the Rangers situation is how do we pay all these young players, especially if they're all coming up at around the same time?
Peter King, national football writer, was asked, you know, why Rodgers didn't get punished the same way as in Brown. And Peter said Packers teammates knew he was not vaxxed and allegedly he wore a mask inside the team facility. Brown faked being vaxxed and put teammates and coaches and staff in danger.
It's awful what he did when you think about it. Awful.
Also makes Bruce Arians look like a foof. Because when that story came out, I said, there's no story here. He's vaxxed. He's not.
Well, is that being a foof kind of falling on the sword, trying to protect your player?
Yeah, but there's ways without being so blunt and say, well, there's no story here. Well, I'm sorry, Bruce, there is.
But I know, Michael, and that's the honorable thing to do. But I guess when you're trying to protect a significant player on your team, Is there anything wrong with, I guess, just being guilty of the loyalty to one of his players?
Well, you've said this for 20 years now. Why do we even listen to people? They all lie. They all lie for their own end. They just lie. I mean, you know how often we're lied to?
No, that's why.
Without any impunity. I mean, they don't care.
That's why our argument has always been, Michael, that there's a lie and then there's a sports lie. And I don't think a sports lie is a sin because they're always either doctoring what they're saying, twisting it around, or just flat out lying to you because they want to come out the way they want to come out with it. I'm sure he completely lied because he wanted Antonio Brown to know that he had his back and the rest of the Buccaneers to know, hey, coach has our back and I appreciate that. And he's willing to do that. And right, Peter, Bruce is one of the guys, he doesn't care what people think.
So Spicy Water 2 tweets out, I tune back into ENN at 6 because of the introduction drops and all the chaos. Give me more of the NN. Kay just wants the airtime to himself and not let Peter have any airtime. Really?
That's not it.
Kay loves the fact that Peter has shines in the 6 o'clock.
I'm reading, I went in order under the, I searched for TMKS ESPN because I never do that to see what people are tweeting for the show. It's very overwhelming. People want more ENN. It's absolutely overwhelming, and I can't find the tweet about the random authors at 6:30. I need to find that because I want it framed on my wall. It's the best tweet we've ever received.
It really is, and almost makes you think that they're a spy in our meetings. What if we do this? All right, you know the stories you have in ENN.
Okay.
And other people talk during ENN. So it's like at 15, 16, you're like, I'm not going to be able to get to all the stories. Shoot us a text. And then we can decide, all right, does Michael have something? Or
no, I do not want to be that guy because then I'll be the man. I'm holding him down. The man's holding him down. Let him do what he wants. The show's very successful the way it is. I'll get over it. He's a Bigfoot. That's what he is. He's a Bigfoot. He's a Bigfoot. He's a Bigfoot.
But so, getting back to the other point about him getting away with murder at this radio station, I'm never mad at you for it. I'm jealous because you have the ability to do it, Michael, and I don't.
What I do is normal. I have a close friend's wedding in another country.
Right,
I have to go.
However, there's a little bit more to the story. You're right. Ryan said it. There's no way they're going to tell me or Michael we can't go to one of our best friends' weddings.
Of course not.
When was the wedding? Saturday or Sunday?
But remember,
Friday.
But
the,
it was Friday. But, strangely, you missed Monday's show.
Yeah, but the Monday, no way Michael or I get way of the Monday. No way.
I ask for an hour off sometimes for a family thing. No. Doctor's appointment, no.
Michael but, pulled off the road. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. After the birth of your child.
I got in the car. Yeah.
You pulled off the side of the road to interview Rex Ryan.
That's right.
Well, listen, honestly, that's great, but it's not as impressive as it sounds.
Now let's take a brief timeout because running past the clock is not as impressive as it sounds.
Wait, hold on. Last one. Last one, Michael. Last one. ENN should have no time restrictions because it's the climax of the show. And I'm sorry. I love you, Don. You're my guy. But if you didn't speak enough about sports from 3 to 6, then you're crazy.
You know what, Don? I have the solution. They should give
Straight them out!
Peter a day part show. Just call it ENN. Whatever show they want to take away from somebody else, do it.
A spinoff.
No, please. No.
Come
if you
on,
don't want
dog.
To be part of this show and you want to flex, do it. We'll be back. Let them flex right here on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Listen up, Jet fans. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Jets take on the Eagles this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Be the first caller right now, right this second, at 888-987-ESPN. Brought to you by the New York Jets. Get your tickets to see the Jets host the Eagles at MetLife Stadium Sunday, December 5th at 1 p.m. Presented by SAP. Lock in your seats at nyjets.com/tickets. So Chris Isaac yesterday, immensely talented. He's 65 years old. He looks like he's in his 30s. But it was kind of sad, guys. It really was. Because the place wasn't full. And this guy used to be a huge star. Had his own show on Showtime. And now he's playing in Portchester in front of a, you know, I'd say 70% full venue. And he gave it his all, played a two-hour show. He was very, 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 very talented, great voice. But I felt a little melancholy. Maybe I'm just getting sensitive. Because when he's looking out at the crowd and he doesn't see every seat full, how does it make a performer feel?
I don't know. Because
how empty are we talking?
30% empty.
30% empty?
And how many seats does that venue hold?
Maybe about 5,000.
I don't think that's not that bad.
Really? Okay.
No. We are still in COVID.
But I went to see John Mulaney at the same, and you couldn't get in. I mean, people waited down the line, down the block to get in. It was
John
Mulaney was full.
John Mulaney, you know, from everything I can tell, I've never been to one of his shows. Is in the prime of his career.
I get it, but I'm saying, but Chris Isaac used to be that guy. Now he's not. That's my only point.
He was barely even that guy.
He was pretty famous. I mean, he had that video that you talked about, and he played song, which was tremendous. He was on Friends. He had an arc on Friends. He had that great show on Showtime. He was pretty big.
What was the Showtime? Sorry, Don.
Isaac show. Yeah, it was kind of like a Gary Shanley sort of show.
Yeah, it was. It was a. Yeah, it was really. It was good. But
irreverent.
That was late 90s. You know, Wicked Game, I think, came out in 1990. You know, if he was in a Friends episode, that was probably somewhere in, like, the mid-90s. So you're
talking, and they played that song, too.
25, 30 years when he was, like, in his prime. And, you know, is John Mulaney going to have people outside, you know, down the block 30 years from now when he comes back?
Seinfeld does.
Seinfeld.
I get it.
Chris Isaac isn't the Seinfeld of music.
But that's just my point. So he used to be bigger than this. And I don't know.
To me, He is never – Chris Isaac, of all people, if he's doing 70% capacity, he's doing just fine. I would not – when you said you were going to see Chris Isaac, I was like, he does concerts?
Those are the venues. I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, he's playing in a venue that holds maximum 5,000 people. And they didn't cancel the show, so they obviously were happy with filling at 70%. And I don't know how it is with COVID because – like John Mulaney is, as Peter said, he's in the prime of his career. Chris Isaac is kind of a nostalgia where you're going to get only a certain demographic that maybe isn't ready to go inside to see a show. I don't know. It's probably somewhat pandemic related, but I also wouldn't be surprised that pre-pandemic if he wasn't selling that building out.
But they're saying the venue, Capitol Theater?
Yeah.
1,800 people.
Oh, really?
Someone tweeted, yeah.
That's how much it holds?
That's what someone said.
Wow. Okay. Well, then there must have been about 1,200 people there.
Now, if you want to go on tour and trying to find venues that hold less than 1,800 people, you're doing weddings.
No. There's still plenty of rooms below 1,800. Trust me, I know it all.
All right, so let's do man or myth. You
okay.
Ready? Peter, his friend, his alter ego is Freddie Kitchens.
I don't kill you.
And here is Freddie, who met with the media today, the Giants kind of de facto offensive coordinator, although he hasn't gotten the title. He's calling the plays. And here he is. He actually drops a reporter's recorder. Here's Freddie.
Is this communication between coach and coach, coach and player, player to coach? It's always constant communication. So I wouldn't put a number on it. I'm so sorry. I'll buy you one for Christmas.
Still working. That's like vintage.
You didn't like what I was saying.
Still working. I'm sorry.
It's still recording.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Thanks.
Check one, two.
Now, Freddie was feeling good about things. He gave a vocabulary lesson.
Facetious, by the way, one of two words in the English language that have all the vowels in it. And they're in order. Right? So can you spell facetious?
Okay.
All right, spell it.
F-A-C-E-T-I-O-U-S.
Yes, A-E-I-O-U. Right? In order. What's the other word?
I don't know. Just asking you, though.
Nobody knows? Anybody know around here? Abstemious. Right. What's y'all's homework assignment? All right. Tell me what abstemious means. All right. See you guys.
I'll tell you what, Peter. The Freddie Kitchens that you imitate does not know the word abstemious. I think you might have to update the imitate. Oh.
First of all, I know exactly what abstemious means. I am feeling very abstemious about this coming holiday season. Is that correct?
Don't ask me.
Or do you mean it more like when I first met my wife, my mama told me we were not allowed to make sex, and so we were practicing abstemious.
No. Abstemious is when you're not self-indulgent, especially when you're eating and drinking. So you're not a slob if you're
I'm not. I'm glad you said it, Michael K, because that's a fact. Well, and then hold on. So that's abstemious. But what exactly does factitious mean?
Facetious means fake, false, fake news.
Right. And that's what I'm tired of you doing on your program with the factitious reports of your little Jewish friend and what he likes to say, this little impression of me. Freddie Kiki knows the truth. And the truth is this. I'm factitious, and I'm
facetious,
and I'm Athenian the way.
Keechin's out. All right, let's go to the phones. I don't know if we can even do any better than that. Let's go to Chris in Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon, what's up, Chris?
Hey guys, that's a tough follow.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I'll give it a shot. But getting back to baseball. Long story short, I wanted to just recommend John Boy did a breakdown with the Seattle Mariners owner giving the Rotary Club in Seattle a breakdown of how he's manipulating service time, free agency, and bragging about how much he's saving the team as far as their bottom line. And so for people just interested, because I had no idea it was this deep, I recommend you guys and listeners to check it out.
No, but everybody knows that story, Chris. But here's the deal, Chris. They did manipulate service time. And it's, frankly, smart business. Wouldn't you rather have a guy for 7 years on your team rather than six, especially if you're not a big market team? And that's when I said the basic agreement they signed allows them to do that. So they're supposed to be honorable and go, let's not do that. That's not right. Well, They're a business, too. So if they could save money on the back end, they're going to do it. They're not doing anything illegal. You might say that it's not, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test of putting the best team on the field. I agree. But again, they're not doing anything illegal. They're just using the system that the players agreed to. So tell me out there, because everybody wants to change things. And I think that the service manipulation is terrible. How do you change it? Because then it comes down to, well, we're not bringing the guy up yet because he's not ready. We're not manipulating any time. He's not ready. And then magically, after that magic date when you can keep him for another year, then he all of a sudden becomes ready. How are you going to prove it? So how are you stopping it? What's the thing where you don't, unless there's no arbitration, the owners are not going to give up arbitration, although they'd like to, because arbitration really pits you against your player. You have to go into a room and tell a player how bad he is. Mike Paliarulo almost went over the table when he was a Yankee, when they sit there and they tell you everything that you're bad at. And that's your owner. So you've got to come up with another system then, because the owners are not going to allow a guy that you put through your farm system for 5 years maybe, and he gets there and he has a great first year and then all of a sudden he could become a free agent. No, they want to have some assurance that they're going to be able to hold on to him for 6 years after all they put into him. So I'm all for changing the system, but tell me how you're going to change it. What are you going to do?
And is that really worth going to war for?
Well, I think it's a bad thing that gets done, and it also does show that some teams are not putting the best team on the field. Because one thing that Brody Van Wagenen did that actually could be celebrated, he didn't do any roster manipulation with Pete Alonso.
No,
he just brought him up. Maybe he also knew the Wolpons weren't going to own the team in 6 years.
But one less year of free agency, one less year before arbitration. That you seem like you're kind of close, right? It's not that, like you're trying to eliminate arbitration. You're trying to be free agency a little younger, but it's only 1 year. I think it's a big deal, but is it that big of a deal that you're willing to make these kind of sacrifices?
We're going to see how big a deal it is, Don. It's a good question. Let's go to Jeff in Red Bank. Jeff.
Good morning or afternoon, Michael. You were talking about people playing in smaller venues as they get older.
Right.
In Red Bank, we have something called the Count Basie.
Yeah,
Basie seats about 2,500. Jay Leno will be appearing. Kevin James will be appearing. Frank Valli will be appearing. When you get old, you get small.
But I think the point is, will they sell that venue out? I don't think Michael was.
Yes.
I don't think Michael was taken aback by the fact that he played in an 1,800-seat theater. Is that it was only 70% full?
Oh, you'd be also Jeff. You'd be shocked at how many people play the Capitol Theater in Portchester. I mean, big names, not even just older acts. I mean, they do, and a lot of big names play Red Bank and they play Count Basie.
But I'm just saying, there's so many people who you could have said in place of Chris Isaac, where I'd be like, "Oh my God, really?" But like, I'm sorry, I'm not saying he had a really nice career. He's famous. He's great. He did awesome. But his biggest music hit was one record 35 years ago. No?
No, anyway. You're right. It's a complicated one. It's not easy. Because some people look at him and say, wow, he was really famous. But not famous like Frank Sinatra famous. I get it.
I can honestly,
and you also
Don,
can't say older plays smaller. Bruce Springsteen can still fill a stadium, so it's not older. It's about where your career is.
Now, real quick, Don, can you name a Chris Isaac song besides Wicked Game?
You put me on the spot. Because, again, I do enjoy his show, but like I said, I'm not a fan. I don't own any of his CDs the way my wife does.
Andrew, do you know any of his songs, including Wicked Game?
That one I know, but absolutely not another one.
Wicked Game is really an unbelievable song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
What a Wicked Game to play.
All right, let's take a brief time out, take more phone calls. Peter's preparing what we hear is a very lengthy ENN. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. Having a good time with you on a Thursday. It is December 2nd, not November 2nd, December 2nd, 2021. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.